This is University Beat. I'm Mark Schreiner. The disease onchocerciasis, or river blindness, has long been a scourge to many developing countries, affecting 18 million people worldwide. In some remote sections of Africa at one time, there were reports that half the adult population had been stricken by the disease. For almost three decades, one USF researcher has been working on the detection and elimination of river blindness. I'm joined today on University Beat by Dr. Tom Unesh, the chair of global health at the USF College of Public Health.
Thanks very much, Mark.
So tell me about river blindness. It's actually a parasite that's transferred by bugs.
Yes, it's a parasite. It's actually a worm parasite where the adult females are quite long. They're actually about a foot long. And they insist in little subcutaneous capsules under the skin, and they produce millions and millions of little larval forms every day, about 30,000 actually a day. And these crawl through the skin. And when a black fly, like the little black flies that you have in North America, up in Maine or wherever, if anyone's been fishing in Maine, they know how terrible those can be, bites a person who's infected, they pick up this little larva, which then molts twice in the fly and then moves back into the head of the fly. And then when that fly bites another person, that larva crawls down, enters the skin of that person, and develops into a new adult worm. And it's these little larvae, because there's millions and millions of these that are in the skin. Occasionally, they end up in places where they shouldn't go. And one of the places where they end up where they shouldn't be is in the anterior chamber of the eye. And if they end up in the anterior chamber of the eye, that's a place where the immune system's not supposed to go, because it's a very delicate structure. It's considered an immune privileged site. But these worms actually stimulate the immune system to enter the anterior chamber of the eye and try and kill these little larvae in the eye, which they're successful at doing. But unfortunately, when they do that, there's a lot of bystander damage. These immune system is not a surgical instrument. It's much more like a sledgehammer. And what you end up with is basically scarification and total whitening out of your cornea. So the entire eye looks white. You lose all the color in your eye. And that's an irreversibly blind situation. And the disease is, until the control programs got going, was very, very common in West Africa. When we started working, we were working in Liberia, and we were looking for individuals who might be immune to the infection. We sampled 775 individuals and found two that weren't infected. Went back a year later, both of those were also infected. So 100% of the people get infected. And in many areas in sub-Saharan Africa, in the savannah, about 50% of the adult population would go blind as a result of this disease.
And it's more than just the vision, though. There's some other horrible effects beyond the vision, are there not?
Well, you can imagine having millions of these little larvae crawling around in your skin is not very good for your skin as well. In some places in Africa, the highest place we ever saw was a person who had 1,500 of these little larval stages per milligram of skin. Oh. And I did a calculation, and that worked out to about, by weight, two-thirds of his skin was actually parasite. And, of course, when this happens, what you end up with is really bad dermatitis and really bad itching in the skin, like having poison ivy over your body, except 100 times worse. When we were working in Liberia and in some of the areas along the rainforest in Africa, where you have people who work in the rubber plantations, they tend to get highly infected with these things. And the rubber tappers we used to see in the evenings would come in and set up a campfire and heat their machetes until the blades were red hot, and then rub that red hot blade of the machete up and down their back to relieve the itching. Now, if you can imagine running a red hot razor sharp blade up and down your back and making that a relief, it gives you an idea of the torture that these people are suffering.
You've gotten backing from National Institutes of Health, the Carter Center, the Gates Foundation, and much of your work involves setting up labs in these remote villages, Africa, Central and South America. What's done at those labs?
What we do in those labs is actually run a lot of the tests that try and measure the amount of infection that's in the community and the intensity of transmission that's going on in an area. One of the things that we're seeing now, we have a very successful drug to treat this parasitic infection called ivermectin or mectazan. And this drug is being donated by Merck Sharp & Dohme, the company that produced it, for as much as needed, for as long as needed, to eliminate this infection for free. And the job of the programs that are out there now is basically to get the drug out to the people and distribute the drug. And if we're able to do this and cover enough of the people for long enough, you can interrupt transmission and eliminate the infection. And, of course, when you're doing this, what you want to do is – two things that you want to do is monitor the whole operation as it's going on to find out how successful the programs are and identify trouble spots. And the other thing that you need to do is once you actually think you're eliminating the infection, you have to show that the infection is gone. So these labs are involved in these monitoring processes where they go out and they collect samples, human blood spot samples, just a little finger prick sample, or also a lot of the black flies that I talked about, which are the vectors for these things, and look for the presence of the parasites in the vectors. And if we can test large numbers of flies, and by large numbers I'm talking of tens of thousands of flies per community, and show that there aren't any parasites in those flies, we can be pretty sure that we've actually interrupted transmission and the parasite is on its way to local extinction in that area. So the role of the labs is really monitoring and surveillance to really tell the programs how well the drug distribution is going, how effective it's going, and whether they can actually stop treatment because they've actually eradicated the infection in the area.
What's the challenge in setting up labs in these remote areas?
It can be fairly challenging. major challenges that we often face, of course, are power. Maintaining a good solid source of electrical power for the laboratories and to maintain the freezers is often very difficult. Just maintaining the conditions, environmental conditions in the laboratory is also very difficult. Things tend to rust out very quickly in West Africa, I have found. But what we have tried to do is really develop these technologies here and put them into a form that's fairly easily transferable into a relatively inexpensively equipped laboratory in these countries where a person who is minimally trained with a bachelor's in molecular biology, for example, can run these tests routinely and maintain and get good data.
Do you run into problems, let's say, with different village leaders, tribal leaders, even government leaders at any point in time where you're trying to help but they still, you know, are territorial about things?
You do. One thing about working in Africa and to a lesser extent in Latin America is a lot of what you can do to be successful relies upon personal relationships. So you end up spending an awful lot of time sitting in people's offices and drinking coffee with them and getting to know them before you actually can manage to get things done. But indeed, you can run into some sorts of these sorts of problems. One of the, if I can say, gratifying things about going to these villages is that these people are in such need that generally when you step into the village and you're offering to help, they put a lot of their petty political issues aside and they all rally around to get as much help as they can.
What kind of success has there been in the eradication of river blindness?
It's actually been amazingly successful. The Latin American program, which is known as the Onchocerciasis Elimination Program for the Americas, or OEPA, has been working in Latin America in 13 different foci now for about, close to 20 years now. And at this point in time, they have successfully eliminated transmission and eliminated the infection in 11 out of those 13 foci. So there's really only two foci that exist now, which is actually only one focus, which is in northern Venezuela and southern Brazil in the headwaters of the Amazon River among the Yanomami native Indian population up there. There's maybe 13,000 people who are now at risk for the infection overall in all of Latin America, and that's the last focus that exists in Latin America. In Africa, the successes have not been quite as pronounced, primarily because the problem is so much larger in Africa. Sub-Saharan Africa is a much larger geographic area than you deal with in Latin America. The flies tend to move around a lot more. The disease originated in Africa, so the transmission is much more efficient. And we've been successful in a few countries along the way, primarily in Uganda and in Mali and in Senegal. So we are moving in the correct direction there. Things look very good. And right now, the World Health Organization has put a goal upon the field of eliminating onchocerciasis by the year 2025 in Africa.
You think it can be done?
I think it's going to be very difficult to do throughout some portions of Africa, primarily because of infrastructure and because of political problems. Some of the areas in Central Africa that are endemic for this disease include the Democratic Republic of the Congo, There's, as people know, a lot of political instability in that area. Groups like the Lord's Resistance Army and other people running around that it's a very dangerous neighborhood to be traveling in and to try, be trying to do drug distribution in.
Now, you travel to some of these areas throughout the year to see firsthand what's going on. What's it like when you get to one of these foci that has the disease basically under control? What's the reaction of the people?
The reaction of the people is just really amazing. You go into these villages and they just come and they'll say, thank you very, very much for ridding us of this terrible scourge that we've had. And it's just a really warm feeling to really know that you're making a difference in somebody's life.